Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, precious blood of Jesus, not redeemed with silver and gold, things from the traditions of our fathers, with the precious blood of a lamb without spot, without blemish. Oh, hallelujah. What a story. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God the Lamb forever. Amen. We're going to lay aside the series for this Christmas time. I think part of keeping the holiday holy is just to hear the message, not just on the Christmas Sunday, but throughout the month. And for this communion as well, if you turn to Matthew chapter 2, as you're turning, I'd like to say it's good to see Sister Hunling back with us from visiting. Amen. Her son and his family, good to have her back. Good to have the Casadas back with us this morning, and others that have joined us. Louita's mother's here visiting. Good to have her. Amen. Before we read, sometimes we pray after we read. We'll pray before we read this morning, and just two prayer requests come in. One, Roger Allison is now in hospice and not given a lot of time. The family covets our prayer. Let's pray for that family. And then the Kendricks' grandmother, Priscilla's mother, they've not given her a lot of time either, and she needs, and that family needs prayer this morning. So could we stand, and as we pray over the word and the preaching and the communion service, could we pray that God would move in these families? Could we do that together? Amen. Father, we praise you. We're so thankful. You're the God of all comfort. You're the God that knows how to step into any situation. Lord, you're the God of all hope. You're the God of all strength. Lord, I pray, God, you would move, Lord, in the Allison family, God. Lord, that you would be there for him and be there, Lord, for that family and minister to them, Lord. God, for the Cunningham family, the Kendrick family, Lord, step into that situation. Your light in the darkness, Lord, your strength in the weakness, your comfort in the grief, oh God, your hope in the hopeless situation. And I pray, Lord, that you'd move right now. Minister to these families, Lord. God, minister through the preaching of the word. May we never forget at the Lord's table that you sit amongst us, oh, saying, take, eat, this is my flesh given for you, this is my blood, drink of it. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Lord, help us to remember that you're at the table. Now bless the preaching of the word and challenge our hearts afresh and new. Touch every soul that's here, any soul that may be listening, oh, with the wonderful good news of the gospel. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just praise Him for it. Hallelujah. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank God for a Savior. Thank God for a Savior. Hallelujah. I want to read just two verses. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. I want to take a contemplation of those words, his star, and I want to wed that with our occasion of communion this morning. And I want to preach about the star and the birth of the Lamb. The star and the birth of the Lamb. God bless you. You can be seated. I remember in the late 70s, in my late teens, on a Christmas Eve, I lay in bed and had two little windows in my bedroom up towards the ceiling. I'll never forget that Christmas Eve. It was the brightest star I'd ever seen throughout the night that was shining through my window. And I remember back then wondering throughout the night, was this the star that the wise men Saul. Have you ever seen a bright star in the sky and wondered that? Now, could that be the star the wise men saw? I want to ask you this question. What was that star the wise men saw? Has it been in the sky since their time? Will it be in the sky again in our near future? Now, you know, in determining what that star is, there's a little bit of a problem because in Bible times, they used the word star for just about anything that was in the heavens. Whether it's the burning gas that we specifically refer to as the star, or whether it was a planet or a supernova or even a constellation, all of those they referred to as stars. So what was it that they saw? A comet, an asteroid? Any of these things were referred to as stars. What was that star? Now, it's interesting that for centuries, hardly anybody even bothered to ask what was the star that the wise men saw. It was in the 1600s that Kepler, the great astronomer, he proposed that the star was an alignment of the planets, Jupiter and Saturn. And being aligned together, it made a conglomerate in the sky that was more bright than usual. And that was the wise men's star that they followed. You may not have seen it in the news, however, but just this past October, scholars met across the world for a special conference just to discuss what was the star of Bethlehem. What was that star? And the reason there was a revolution in the thinking is because not an astronomer, but a coin collector bought a coin, an ancient coin, and staring at that coin, not even an astronomer, he said, "We've missed it. I think I know what the star of Bethlehem was." I don't know if you can see it, but here is the coin. It was minted in Antioch, Syria. That's right on the north side of the Holy Land. It was minted in the first century. And if you can see that, there is a ram, a sheep there, his head turned backwards, and he's looking at a star. You say, well, what's the significance about this? Well, the first thing that hit the coin collector, Brother Bill, is, wait a minute, it wasn't the brightness of the star that caught their attention. It was where the star was located. You see, they begin to put some things together, and the first thing they took into account, that this ram you see here, that stands for the constellation Aries, which those of you that may know astronomy may know the patterns of the star. That's the constellation that forms the ram. And here it would be, you can just barely see it here. They take these stars and they draw their lines and they come up with this ram. If we go back to the coin for just a moment. And so they said, first of all, that's the constellation. And then it hit them. The second thing that hit them was the constellation that stood for Judea, the land of Judea, and even the tribe of Judea from which Jesus is from. The constellation of the tribe of Judea, the land of Judea, is Aries, the ram. The star that this ram is looking at, that ram stands for Judea, but the star is Jupiter. And they begin to do the mathematical calculations. And at the time the wise men would have been in the east looking towards Judea, Jupiter would have been right within this constellation of Aries, the ram. You say, well, wait a minute. They were looking for a king, weren't they? That's the point. Jupiter is the planet that when it is aligned with the moon and passes over the moon within the constellation of Aries the ram, it means that a king has been born. Something has happened in royalty. They met in October. They discussed this. And many more concluded that this was the correct designation of the Star of Bethlehem. Many more concluded that it was, and that the evidence was for it than the evidence was against it. We have the star Jupiter saying a king is born. We have it within the constellation of Aries, the ram. I said all that to say this. Do you realize when the wise men were keeping that star within their gaze as they traveled to Judea, the constellation they were seeing was the ram, the sheep, the lamb. The whole trip there, keeping their eye on that star, they were looking at the figure of a lamb. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You see, the wise men may have understood that they were going to see a newborn king, and they were on their way to a newborn king, but they were also on their way to the birth of a lamb. Mary had held that little babe, and to her it was the birth of her newborn firstborn son, and it was the birth of her firstborn son. But she also held the Lamb of God within her arms. Amen. The shepherds came at the announcements of the angels to see the birth of the Messiah, and it was the birth of Messiah. But when the shepherds looked in that manger, they were also looking at the Lamb. I said the star led, amen, to the birth of the Lamb. In each case, wise men, shepherds, Mary, whoever else, they witness the birth of the Lamb into the world. Not just any Lamb, but a sacrificial Lamb, a Lamb that was born to die. Amen. You know, all through Judea, lambs were born. And I don't suppose when each lamb was born, if the owner knew that would be a lamb that would be sacrificed in the temple or not. They probably didn't know that. But one thing is for sure, heaven knew, God knew that when Jesus was born, he was born not just a lamb. He was born a sacrificial lamb. Amen. Tradition has it that those shepherds that attended his birth, the sheep that they were watching were in the fields adjacent to Jerusalem. And many believe that those flocks were designated as sheep intended for the sacrifice within the temple. And those shepherds, they were watching over sacrificial lamb. It is fitting then that the angels, by the instructions of God, announced to the shepherds, you who watch over these temporary sacrificial lambs, we want you to go there to Bethlehem, and you're going to see the ultimate sacrificial lamb. I'm telling you, when Jesus was born, it was the birth of the sacrificial Lamb of God who had come to take away the sin of the world. And the whole way to Judea, those wise men were looking at a star and a constellation of a sheep that led them to the Lamb of God. Looking at the Lamb in the skies, the wise men found the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you, as I was studying this and I was thinking of this and the child that Mary held, the child that the shepherds exulted over, the child that the wise men worshiped, when I began to think about that, I became overwhelmed with a strong sense of sadness. And I'm not a weeping person, but I just felt like weeping and weeping. And I know they weren't there all at the same time, but in my mind's eyes, I see Mary holding the child and the shepherds there. They're praising. They're excited. And the wise men are knelt down giving their gifts. And I felt such an overwhelming sense of sadness. And you say, why? Because even though the shepherds are exulting and they're rejoicing and the wise men, they're bound bowed down in reverence, and Mary's so happy to have a child. That child is destined to die. That child's going to die. He's born to die. Yes, he's going to grow, but he's only going to grow to an age where he's big enough to nail to a cross. And that sadness began to sweep over me and overwhelm me. And then it got worse, and it got even heavier, because I don't know if Mary knew it at the time and only knew it later, but I began to think to myself, how many people simply do not realize, they seem oblivious to the fact that the Lamb of God was born to die and to die for their sins. And yet we're in a Christmas season. They want to take his name out of every greeting, take his name off the decorations, take his name off the government buildings. And the sadness that hit my heart, don't they realize it? Don't they see it? Don't they get it? Amen. He came into this world to die and to suffer, to save the very people that are ignoring him, denying him, and trying to edit him out of their life and living. The sadness overwhelmed me that people could be oblivious to the fact that this babe came to be our sacrificial lamb. You know, it ought to be obvious to our world that it's in trouble and needs a Savior. There's people all through your lives associated with the church. It ought to be obvious to them what a mess their lives are in and the awful wreckage of sin. It ought to be obvious that they need the Lamb of God. And I'm going to tell you, it's not in the sermon. I want to tell you, there's no other answer, no other solution, no other help, no other way. You can pile the religions as high as you want to, but there's no other way of salvation. There's no other way to be rid of sin. There's no other way, Brother Steve, to have the sin stains, amen, extricated from the heart. No other way except by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the, and the world ought to recognize what a mess it's in. Politics won't save it. Money won't save it. A charismatic figure coming on the scene won't save this world. There's only one way this world can be helped. This world can be saved. This world can be changed. It's by the blood of the Lamb. I think it's time, as the wise men set their eyes upon that Lamb, I think it's time once again, from government to world to church to Christian, I think it's time we get our eyes back on the Lamb of God, because therein is our salvation. That's such a broad subject, we could preach forever on it, but I just want to briefly remind us of three things about a sacrificial lamb. First of all, a lamb delivered from death. All of this is in the context of Israel, who had the laws of sacrifice, knew all about it, a part of their life. That's what that temple's for, is to take your sacrifice. And the instructions were clear. If you had sinned, if you'd done wrong, you deserve to die. Take the adulterer out and stone them. Take the rebellious son out, stone him. You break God's laws, you deserve to die. But God said, instead of stoning everybody, if they realize that they have sinned, they can take a lamb and take it to the temple and slit its throat and let its blood be spilt. And instead of that person dying, that lamb can be that person's substitute. And that lamb can die in that person's place. There wasn't a person that went to that temple and slit a lamb's throat as that blood was pouring out until the lamb became so weak it could stand no longer and it fell over on the ground, its legs twitching, taking its final gasp of air. There wasn't a person there that watched that lamb die that could not have avoided thinking, that should have been me. I'm the one that should have died because I'm the one that sinned. But God allowed that lamb to take my place and die in my place. this communion. We're going to hold the symbols of his body and blood. Body broken in crucifixion, blood spilled. As we hold those elements, it ought to strike every one of us. He died, but it should have been me. Oh, I'm telling you, the sacrificial lamb tells us we've been delivered from death. Hallelujah. It should have been I that died, but a lamb, the Lamb of God, oh, took my place. Hallelujah. Come, we can lift a hand this morning. Say, I'm so thankful that the Lamb of God took my place. Oh, took my place. You say, I don't need the lamb. How are you going to deal with your sin? How are you going to get rid of your sin? You need the lamb. A second thing about a sacrificial lamb, and though it's related, I want to emphasize this part of it. A lamb delivered from wrath. A lamb delivered from wrath. Amen. The death of a sacrificial lamb ensured a person that person would not experience the judgment and the wrath of God. Amen. That was the whole purpose of the sacrificial lamb. Amen. To get a person away from the wrath of God. You know, this is foreign to our world, but the Bible is clear. Our God is a holy God. He does not wink at sin. He does not ignore sin. He does not overlook sin, but he brings all sin into account. Every sin will be judged. The world would like to take all of that away and just say God is a God of love and all of that, but I want you to know he is a holy God. He's angry with the sinner every day. Amen. He's angry at that because of his holy nature. Amen. Jesus, it said of Jesus in John that if we believe in him, we have life. But if we don't believe in him, the wrath of God abideth on us. You know, we talk about hell that the unbeliever will face at the end after the judgment. But what people ought to realize, if they are not followers of Jesus, they do not believe in Christ with all their heart. Right now, not in the future, not in eternity, but right now, they are under the sentence of the wrath of God. And that's a horrible thing. You shall escape that wrath. But you see, that lamb, amen, that lamb, when he was taken to the temple, that person laid their hands on the lamb to say, I am transferring my sins to this lamb. Amen. And when those sins were on that lamb died as a judgment of those sins. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, when Jesus died on the cross, he not only bore the burden of our sins, but the very wrath of God, the very holiness of God, the very judgment of God fell upon those sins which were upon Christ on the cross. And folks need to realize it once again. Amen. Jesus bore the brunt of the wrath of God for our sins. Because of that, we will not endure. We will not suffer. We will not go through the wrath of God. We've been delivered from the judgments of God. Hallelujah. Free from wrath. Because Jesus bore it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have to suffer judgment. I don't have to endure the wrath of God because Jesus already bore it. And since the wrath was taken out on that lamb, that person walked out of that place free from the wrath of God. We don't have time to go through it because in the Bible times, that was just good until the next time to bring a sacrifice to the temple. But I'm telling you, because of Christ, once you come to Christ for the rest of your life throughout all eternity, you stay in Christ and you walk free from being under the wrath of God. I want you to know this may not be popular, but our world is standing, living right under the impending wrath of God. And it will drop on them. But if you're a believer and trusting in Christ this morning, look up. The sky is clear. There's no wrath of God hanging over your head. Oh, hallelujah. People that's in trouble with the law got outstanding warrants. They live with those warrants hanging over their head. Never knowing when the police are going to show up. Never knowing when they're going to be incarcerated, brought before the judge, amen, put in prison. Hey, I'm telling you, hallelujah, our arrest warrants have been removed. There's nothing hanging over our head. Glory to God. Can you praise the Lord for that? Amen. We don't live under the wrath of God. Why? Because of the Lamb. Because of the Lamb. Oh, one more thing. Amen. Last of all, a sacrificial lamb delivered from a great weight. Amen. I'm talking about beyond the wrath. I'm talking about an inside personal thing. Amen. A lamb delivered from the weight of guilt, the burden of sin, the condemnation of heart. Oh, thank God. Even those that realize its import, its significance, those that were sincere and brought their lamb to the temple, went through that ritual, its blood was shed, and the wrath of God was upon the lamb. You can't convince me that those that were sincere didn't leave feeling so lighthearted. It wasn't just that the wrath of God wasn't hanging over their head, but in their hearts, they were lighthearted. They left their guilt in the blood and that were pulled under the sacrificial lamb. They left their guilt back there in the temple, in the pool of blood. They left their condemnation back there in the temple, in the pool of blood. They left the weight of sin back there in the temple, in the pool of blood. And they walked out of the temple. Their heart was free. Hallelujah. Could I tell you, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus because of the sacrificial lamb. You can leave your guilt. Amen. Oh, you say, you don't know what I've done in the past. Jesus died for that sin. And if you confess it, you can leave the guilt of that in the pool of the blood of the, oh, aren't you glad for a lamb that has taken away the burden and the weight of guilt and condemnation? And so the wise men may not have understood all of that as they looked at Jupiter in the constellation of Aries. And that may even be disproved at a later date. At this point, they agree that that's what the wise men saw. They saw Jupiter within the Lamb. They followed the star which was in the Lamb. They looked at the Lamb all the way to the Christ child. That may be disproved, but that changes nothing. Because it was the light of the star that led them to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Brother Heath already tied it together in Scripture. And the Word was made flesh. And when John saw the Word made flesh, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Hallelujah. I hope we get this morning. You see, whether the wise men put it all together or not, the light led them to the Lamb. And the light still leads to the Lamb. You say people are so hopelessly lost, I don't know how they'll get saved. I'll tell you how. There is a light that can pierce the darkness. And when that light shines upon their mind, that light shines upon their heart. How many believes there's a light that can penetrate the darkness? And I'll tell you without exception, when the light shines within their path, it's going to shine directly on the Lamb of God. They're going to see the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord. Let's just praise Him a moment. Could we? Hallelujah. So thankful for the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Hallelujah. There's an old hymn I remember singing as a child. Oh, I wish I had a singing voice. I just sing it here. Look to the Lamb of God. All week I haven't been able to get away from this first verse. Listen to this. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. They may be partying, acting like everything's all right. They're having a good time. But I want you to know there's tons of folks right now that are longing to be free from sin. How many believes that longing? If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. And then the chorus is here on the wall. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone, I said, for He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Oh, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Oh, there's other verses, but just one more. Fear not when shadows on your pathway fall. Look to the Lamb of God. In joy or sorrow, Christ is all in all. Look to the Lamb of God. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. I trust after we focused on the Lamb during this message, I hope every time one of us sees the Star of Bethlehem throughout the Christmas season that's before us, we will think of the Lamb of God. Amen. How many of you just kind of make a personal note to yourself right now to say, whenever I see the Star of Bethlehem, I'm going to think of the Lamb that the wise men saw in the stars. I'm going to think of the Lamb of God. Would you do that? Oh, hallelujah. I'm feeling that same sadness come upon my heart because so many, they want to do away with this message. They want to modernize and philosophize and act like this is primitive stuff. But I want to tell you, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If there was another way, God certainly wouldn't have sent His Son to die. How many believes that? There is none other way. No, if this world would only realize the Lamb of God is the only way to be free from sin and wrath and condemnation and guilt. Hallelujah. How many's been set free by the Lamb? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you didn't have to bring a sheep with you this morning? But here in a few moments, you're going to hold parts of the Lamb of God in symbol, but you're going to be holding parts of the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. I got to thinking about that guy taking that sheep to the temple. No doubt blood got splattered on him. I'm not suggesting you take your juice this morning and splatter it on you, but we need to leave here with some indelible mark that we've partaken of communion. It ought not just end when we put the cup and the holder in the back of the pew. There ought to be a gratefulness, a joy. Hallelujah. My sins are gone. Glory to God. Can we just praise Him right now? Are your sins gone? Are you thankful for the Lamb of God? Servers, would you come? Are you thankful for the Lamb of God? Come on, let's praise Him. And now, as the church is praising, if you're here this morning, amen, you say, my life is too full of sin. No, sir. No, ma'am. The Lamb of God died for your sins too. The Lamb of God shed His blood for your sins too. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's rejoice. Let's just rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you, Lamb of God. Lord, we worship You. Lord, we honor You. Hallelujah. Amen. Hold your elements till everyone's been served, and then we'll partake together. Praise God.
And I believe whatever I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead at last to my friend. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, and I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe Christ, who was slain on the cross, has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine, and that by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, and I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that this life with its great mystery surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead at last to my friend. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered, earth is no more, I'll still cling
The Lord, if you feel the weight of sin gone because of the Lamb, could you stand across the building? Hallelujah. Oh, so much to rejoice over. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Richie, will you ask the Lord's blessing on the bread today? Yes, Lord. Amen. Before you take, would you say, His body was broken for me? Could you do that? His body was broken for me. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Brother Leitner, would you ask a blessing on the cup today? Take of the cup. Hallelujah. If you can do it, lift your hands and say, my sins are gone. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 What else can do that? Who else can do that? Take away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I know we sang it during the song service. Could we sing it as we close this communion? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We're going to get to that part. Oh, precious is the flow. When you get to that part, think of all the sins that flow washed out of your life. All the guilt removed us from the place of wrath, put us in the place of mercy. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Amen. Here it is. Thank you for it. And oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. And no other fount that I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. And no other fount I know, nothing, the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let's thank Him for it. Hallelujah. You're going to walk out of here, not under the wrath of God, but under His mercy. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, can you imagine afterwards on the streets of Jerusalem Somebody looks at somebody walking down the street. They got a spring in their step, a smile on their face. And somebody looks at them and says, I can tell you've been to the temple. I can tell you just got through sacrificing. How can you tell? Oh, you got the joy. Amen. Why do you got joy? Because the burden of sin is gone. It's been lifted. Amen. My soul's been set free. Glory to God. We ought to leave that way today. You must have been to church. I have. Amen. You're happy. Why? Because I've been washed in the blood. I'm not living under the wrath of God. The weight of sin's been removed. Glory to God. Didn't you used to do this and that? Didn't you used to live that? Yeah, I did. I did every one of those things. But the blood of Jesus washed away my sin. Glory to God. Amen. Won't you come and go with us and do those things again? Oh, no. Since I've been set free from that, I never want to do it again. Amen. I'm so glad I'm free. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Spirit of God, you're here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you go, I promise, but there's one thing different here. They each had to take a different lamb, only one lamb for a person. This morning we share the same lamb. Oh, hallelujah. I said we share. My lamb's your lamb. Your lamb's my lamb. We share the same lamb. Since we share the same lamb, would you greet one another? Tell one another you love one another this morning. Hallelujah.